Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, June the 11th, 169th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, live somewhere in the city of Eureka, Tony Smithers. Hey, guy.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Huh. That's interesting. You guys can hear it. I can't hear anything. That'll be interesting. Okay. We'll try it like this. So you're there, huh?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
All right. Now I can hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, the old-fashioned way. Pick up the phone. This afternoon, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about the Lodging Alliance and also the Sunset Show that Tony had the opportunity to go and attend. A little bit different opportunity because this time he wasn't the only thing represented in the booth. So we'll talk about some of the different opportunities that are going on there as well. And we'll do it all when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:15. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. You'll love this one, Tony. Napoleon Bonaparte.
Okay.
All right. Nothing is more difficult and therefore more precious than being able to make decisions. I thought you'd appreciate that coming from an environment of having a board.
I've got two boards.
Yeah, I know. Well, twice the trouble then, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Let's talk a little bit about the Sunset Show. I think a lot of folks might recall that the Visitors Bureau does some out-of-market booths, I guess, sample opportunities, or at least chances to meet and talk and introduce the product or remind folks of the product. What was this particular Sunset Show like?
Well, I think what we saw was the fact that at least in the minds of the Bay Area resident, the recession is over. They were there looking for ways to, you know, plan their vacation time. And they were buying a lot of other products, too, because, you know, it's Sunset. It's all about the whole Western lifestyle of food, travel, home, garden, you know, all those parts to it.
So when you're there, do you go snooping to the other booths and look for ideas?
Snooping is a polite way of putting it. No, indeed, because a lot of them are destinations just like ours, and in some cases they're maybe ahead of us a little bit. For instance, Travel Oregon has a big triple-sized booth that, you know, they always have like a three-ring circus going that gets a lot of attention, and we'd love to be able to have a bigger footprint. But what we saw this year was that Humboldt County did, in fact, have a much bigger footprint than in previous years. We've done this show for about 8 years now. This time, we actually had a Humboldt beer maker serving their wares up in the Medway area. That was Lost Coast Brewery. And then there was a wonderful presentation with the Humboldt Redwood Coalition. Now, this is been put on by a Humble Redwood Company for a few years now, but this time they had invited in some other Humble products under the Humble Made moniker, those folks. So not just decking, they were sampling natural decadence foods, some Mad River beer, a few other products. So it was, you know, there were lots of places to find Humboldt in the show this time.
Oh, so it wasn't all just in one booth. It was in a couple of different locations?
It was all spread around.
How big is that show, Tony, physically?
Their campus there, I guess, I would say it's about 60, 70 acres.
So yeah. it's a pretty good day's jaunt to try to see a percentage of it.
It is. It's pretty, you know, there, and there's several hundred, you know, exhibitors and vendors, so it's quite, it gets very crowded.
Is it a retail show, or is it more a travel writer and exposure thing?
It's definitely has some of both, but it's primarily a consumer show. It's for the Bay Area resident who's really bought into that Sunset Western lifestyle to sort of go and see the pages of the magazine become real in a way.
KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Tony Smithers.
Sunshine for Humboldt. Recently, the Eureka Heritage Society named Bill Hole its Preservationist of the Year. For 17 years, he's led the renowned Historic Preservation and Restoration Technology Program at College of the Redwoods. Now, however, he's been told the college may not be able to afford to offer his classes next school year. While the program has a shortfall based solely on enrollment, Mr. Hole says that's not the full story. It's brought in more money than it costs to run, over $1 million from donated supplies, equipment and training sites, state grants and training agreements. He adds, "The type of training we do, integrating construction, rebuilding, and revitalizing neighborhoods, is significant to Humboldt County. The intensive hands-on training prepares his students to fill the demand for specialists to work on restorations locally and throughout the country. See, our administrators should take off their green eye shades and see the big picture. This program is a valuable asset to our economy and culture." Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers out of the Visitors Bureau. Well, not literally this afternoon, but from the Visitors Bureau. How's that?
I'm actually sitting in the Visitors Bureau right
yeah,
now.
Okay. Yeah, okay. And it's a comfy fit also. Tony, looking at the effort, the time, the resources expended to be in these in a booth for a show anywhere along the that you guys do, how do you know if it works?
Oh, that question. That's a little advertising question. We know half of it works, we just don't know which half.
Okay.
Well, we've looked at it from various ways. You know, first of all, we know there's a distribution cost in order to get our destination materials into the hands of somebody who's, you know, somewhat interested. It's not good just to, you know, blanket them if you don't think the person has any interest to it. So I compare it to different forms of distribution, one of which is the traditional advertising fulfillment method, in that we advertise our destination and we encourage people to contact us to get more information. Sometimes they call, sometimes they go to the website, sometimes they circle the bingo card in the publication to have a guide sent to them. And then we have the cost of that advertising divided by the number of inquiries we get, then the cost of printing the guide, the cost of mailing it to someone, the handling, all that kind of thing. So we basically got down to where we're usually spending about somewhere between $2 to $4, depending on how successful the advertising is, in order to get our guide into the hand of one interested person. So I compare that to doing an in-person market show where, we have to pay to have a booth, and that usually is about $1,000. Then we have to pay, you know, gas money and hotel and, you know, other travel expenses in order to get about 1,000 guides into the hands of these people over the course of a weekend. It usually works out to be somewhere between, you know, $2 to $3. So it's very similar to the cost of the advertising fulfillment model. difference being is that we have the chance to have several hundred conversations over the course of a weekend, answering specific questions, following the cue that the consumer gives us to really zero in on what might attract them and make them want to visit Humboldt County. So in that case, it's much more than an advertising activity. It's a direct sales activity.
Yeah, I would think the quality of the contact face-to-face in a travel show, unless somebody was, you know, had kids and you had to discipline them instead of the parents, would probably be superior.
Right. So, you know, you have to, if you go to these things, you better be prepared to talk all day long. So if my voice gives out, you'll know why.
Yeah. Well, and they know why then I never attend those things, because my dainty little voice just can't last too long.
Oh, okay.
What was the, I know each of the shows you go to, there's a theme of the booth, there's a theme of the show, there's a theme of what you discuss. What was the theme that people were talking about this time around?
Well, you know, the timing of the show is important. It's in, you know, early June. People are looking to, what are you going to do this summer? And primarily, I heard, we want to get out of town. Our answer to that question always is, get into nature, come to the Redwoods. And we don't stray from that basic message very much. You know, for instance, our booth decoration has a 8-foot by 10-foot fabric poster backdrop that is on a collapsible frame that makes it look like you can walk right into the Redwoods. In fact, a lot of people want their photo taking in front of it.
That's got to be a little weird for you.
Yeah. We don't mind doing that. We'll make them happy. So for us, it's talking about whether they want to camp or whether they want to stay in a hotel. We tell them how to get up into the Redwoods and why our Redwoods are a different experience from what they can get closer to home, for instance, at Muir Woods, etc.
Now, there used to be, and I'm going back probably... Yeah, you might have been around by then. The Redwood Forest Starter Kit that used to go to the state fair booths and some of these outreaches, the seedlings that they used to be provided by, whether it was Louisiana Pacific at the time or Georgia Pacific. Is there any interest in those anymore?
Oh, they were being handed out by the Humboldt Redwood folks. So we had a lot of people walking around clutching the Redwood seedling.
Still in the incubator tube?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, at least you know if they were really interested then or not.
Yeah, I mean, but just imagine all these little redwood seedlings are going to be murdered because they don't usually grow unless you live in the redwood country.
Yeah, you need a little thing called fog. So what was the takeaway from this event?
That there is a lot of pent-up demand for travel. The recession is on its way out, and there are people who want to get out and see the country. And we better make sure that they know about us.
This summer?
This summer. I've got some preview from some of our member companies who say that their preseason bookings are very strong this year.
Good. So this will just augment what is already occurring?
Right. Our season doesn't start till July. I mean, technically, yeah, it starts Labor Day, but, you know, we have got plenty of room in the hotel in June. So one of the reasons why we like this show is it gives us a chance to try and build that shoulder season a little bit.
KINS, News and Information Times 3:30. We'll be back with more from Tony Smithers.
Value and selection in new furniture and appliances are just the beginning of the reasons why more North Coast customers like you shop at Burns Furniture. This month, you'll find exceptional prices on the new iComfort mattress sleep system and sale prices on Englander mattresses. It's June, so recliners are on sale, and you'll want to see what's new on the four big floors of furniture and appliances at Burns. Get free delivery from Trinidad to Scotia when you buy at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with the Executive Director of the Humboldt County Convention and Visitors Bureau and the Humboldt Lodging Alliance, Tony Smithers.
Hello.
See, I remembered it. Tony, what's the status of the Alliance? I know last time we got together you were indicating that the cash flow was a little bit higher than what had been budgeted for, and everybody was cautiously optimistic going into summertime. Is that holding?
It is indeed. The question is, you know, what are we going to do with this, all this new resources? And that's really what's been taking up all of the attention. And I think the best thing we can have done is what we have done, which is to implement some new market research so we don't just start throwing money at the wall. You know, we got to spend it really smart.
So what would be some of the things that are, let's call them the possibles, that would be either different from the Alliance or just an extension of what the Visitors Bureau is currently doing in marketing for the county?
Well, one thing we've never really been able to get into much because of purely budgetary reasons is in the way of broadcast advertising, whether that's radio or TV or cable or what have you. We haven't done much of all of that. But that's really how you build a brand image, particularly in a very targeted area.
So this will give you the opportunity to do some short-term impressions, or are you looking at really mounting an ongoing campaign so regardless of the time of the year, they're thinking about Humboldt County as a tourist destination for their families?
Well, ideally, because as you know, our visitor industry does very well in the summer, and our mission really is not to bring more people during the summer.
So as you're looking at trying to come up with a codified message, I'm sure you still get a lot of references to some of the past campaigns that were done. Are you looking to resurrect to something similar to that, or are you looking to augment what's currently on the website and drive traffic to a website location? What would be the goal of a full-on campaign?
Well, I would hope that rather than just, you know, the sort of traffic-building approach, which is, of course, is important, and, of course, a website is the cornerstone of any marketing communications program, but I think we have the opportunity now to have some more direct consumer action activity in terms of, you know, people actually buying a product, whether it's a package that's been put together or even an individual tour product of some sort. We would be much happier if we could then, point to that and say, well, look, this campaign actually produced, 812 sales, and so our bottom line return on investment was X.
So, yeah, I think the Sally Kellerman is the one that if folks remember at all over the last 20 or 25 years, probably the benchmark as far as an outreach campaign using radio or electronic media. Is that the kind of thing that you're looking to do, is to get somebody who has some name recognition, or are you looking for a celebrity endorsement? What kind of creative, or is that still too far down the road?
Well, I think we're waiting to see what this marketing firm that we've engaged is going to come up and produce. But I'll tell you what, from my point of view, is that I see a lot of different destinations doing a lot of marketing, and it's very kind of all meat and potatoes. There's really not too much stuff that is out of the box, and I think not only because we want to have a very strong, sustained, successful effort, but I think we're a different kind of destination. We really are not a meat and potatoes destination. And I would like to see our marketing campaigns reflect that.
So are you saying a little bit more avant-garde?
Let's say off the wall.
Okay, non-traditional in the message or the approach?
I think so. I think people really resonate well with the idea that, you know, Humboldt is kind of on the edge, that this is where a lot of hippies came to settle. You know, there's a certain amount of freedom up here.
You're not going to use that Volkswagen line that the newsprint used a couple of years ago, are you?
No, what was that?
This is where old Volkswagen buses go to die?
Let's just say that's where they come to have new life.
Yeah, that one could be a third rail issue for you if you use that one. So it's a little bit different, but can you mainstream an avant-garde message?
I think if you keep it within bounds and maybe use humor as your communication, you know, device, that can go over well. And nothing's more difficult than humor, I think.
Yeah, and more deadly if it fails. Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
It's unfortunate. I know that the Visitors Bureau isn't involved with the Film Commission anymore, that the Will Smith movie really hasn't taken an awful lot of positive comments.
Well, we've heard some good reviews of the Redwoods.
Oh, that would be the non-speaking roles?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Maybe that's the genesis of the campaign, huh? The movie may not have been what you wanted, but boy, weren't those trees.
Well, you know, it doesn't have to be an Academy Award winner to add to the sort of genre of films that are made up here that people can come and look and see the location where the film was made. So it joins, you know, Outbreak and The Majestic and Jurassic Park and Star Wars, you know, that whole body of work actually makes us pretty exceptional as a film destination. There are people who want to come and see those places.
That's what I was wondering with the Jurassic Park being inside of the parks and with Star Wars being inside the parks, and I know that they do an awful lot to clean things up so that there are no traces that they were there. Is it tougher, I guess, to be able to capitalize on those as contrasted to, okay, you're standing in the middle of Ferndale on Main Street, okay, and you can line a picture up from a pamphlet and go, this is where it was and this is where that happened, and get into the movie that way?
Well, I think either way, you need to give some clue to the visitors as to where they're going to go and what they're going to see. You know, the Film Commission does produce a map called Map to the Stars, that they're currently updating, in fact, that does, you know, show people where to go for all the different, and there's a lot more movies than the ones I mentioned. There's been quite a few over the years.
Yeah, don't forget Salem's Lot. I mean, if you want to go see the cemetery.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And this most recent one, for example, we know that there was a lot of work done so that the film didn't impact the parks, and everyone did a fantastic job, but it's a park and it's open to the public. And if we just tell them where to go, and if it's on an existing trail or road, then there's no problem for the public to find the place.
KINS News and Information Times 344. We'll be back. Final segment with Tony Smithers.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 347. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. Tony, one of the things I think that really helps to set the Lodging Alliance and the special district, I guess, apart from so many other things, is that you guys have already designated a percentage for economic development, but it's not for the lodging industry economic development. It's for others. How's that been going along?
Well, it's at the very early stages, but it's very encouraging and very exciting.
It really is for the lodging industry, because anything that helps tourism is going to put heads in beds.
Sure, but it's not. Give me $150,000 so I can add a wing on my facility.
No. I can give you some examples of some of the ideas that are being thrown over the transom, as it were.
Okay.
The Lodging Alliance has already funded the Arcata Chamber of Commerce to extend their open hours, so they're open on Sunday.
Okay, that's a logical one.
Yeah, if someone goes there on a Sunday, they can be referred to other things to see and do, the local hotels. It really helps the entire industry to have our visitor centers open as much as possible.
Sure. Are there new projects, new things on the board, so to speak, that are being considered?
Yes, we've received a few applications that are now going to the committees, because each city has its own committee that decides on the applications within that city.
Because it's geographically
right, so,
locked.
Arcata folks are deciding on Arcata projects, and Eureka is the same, et cetera, et cetera.
Specific to where those dollars were raised?
Exactly.
Okay.
So that makes a lot of sense. So, I can't name names, but I'm just on my desk today. I see there's a proposal to market Arts Alive in Eureka. To really do a video series, and to really reach out and get a lot more visitor awareness of that event. To me, great idea. It's one of the unsung heroes of our destination.
That seems to be something that's pretty popular in most of the communities, so I would imagine that there's a pretty good comfort with that, understanding of what it is, and possibly a low-hanging fruit.
That's one of the exciting things about how this works, that something that can be done in one community can then be replicated in other ones, and it's almost a slam dunk.
Very cool stuff. Well, thanks for coming by, sort of.
Same old pleasure.
Huh? We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Tony Smithers. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.